this is Sarah.
And this is Rachel.
And this is The Rip Diaries, a podcast where we rip apart episode by episode The Vampire Diaries. Warning, this is a rewatch podcast. At this point in the season, there are a lot of spoilers. I intend to bring up spoilers, so don't watch if you don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, at this point, we're way too deep into the show for there to not be spoilers about everything that's happened and things that will happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, especially because this week we're talking about season 2, episode 20, The Last Day. It's Elena's last day alive as a human, up in the air. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Last day.
The last day.
Yes. So we kick off right at the Salvatore house. It is the next morning from the last episode. Damon is still in bed when he hears Elena, Stefan, and Elijah downstairs discussing that the full moon is tonight. Like, this obviously means, like, Klaus is going to try to break the curse tonight. Like, there's no way he's not going to go for it.
Of course.
And Damon gets out of bed and he goes right downstairs, somehow shows up like all dressed up, ready to go. I'm like, person being a man and as attractive as he can summer holder, you can just roll out of bed.
On. Who cares?
And look amazing. But yeah, he comes downstairs and is saying what he's been saying the whole time. Like, they shouldn't bother with breaking the curse, like, during the actual sacrifice, or not breaking the curse, killing Klaus while he's breaking the curse. They should kill him today with Bonnie, which obviously Elena's like, no.
No, we can't. Yeah. Even Stefan is kind of like, no.
Yeah, no. It's not an option, Damon, as they've said 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And Damon's like, but I'll write her a great eulogy, which I was like, he definitely would.
He would. No, he would.
He would write her a good eulogy.
Is that a good reason? No.
But yeah, Elena again is like, no, stop.
Yeah.
So they go back to going over the curse because, like, obviously Damon's not helping. And they're kind of, like, reminding us as the audience of the ingredients. You know, they're trying to, like, set up what's going on. What's the focus? What's the game plan for the episode? The Moonstone, a witch, a werewolf, a vampire, and, of course, the doppelganger, Elena. And we get, like, a glimpse at Team Klaus while they're going over, like, those things.
Yeah.
And you see Klaus with the witch Greta. And they have, like, a flirty moment for a second, which I was like, why? What is the vibe here? Why is this necessary?
Yeah, their relationship is so weird. I have so much more to say about Greta and how she acts toward Klaus. It's so odd.
It's very odd.
We'll get into that more, though. But yeah.
She's definitely thirsty for Klaus.
Of course.
But I don't blame her. So.
I get it.
same page there.
Yeah.
So anyway, Elijah's telling them, you know, what's going to happen in the curse. Mm-hmm. And he says that Klaus will need to drink the blood of the doppelganger to the point of her death. And I love Stefan and Damon, the boys' reactions to this. Like, Damon's head whips to Elena and he looks like outraged, like this is like a horrible, like, offense. And Stefan's so sweet, he just, like, reaches over and grabs her hand and then he puts his head in his other hand and he's just like shaking his head, he just looks devastated. We knew she was gonna die, but something about it, like, being draining her blood, I think for them, like, hit really hard. They were both like, no, like, this is the worst that way she could have gone out. Which, I don't know. I haven't died, so I don't know if that's true or not, but...
Yeah. You have to admit, I mean, it's pretty quick, but, like, that seems like a slow...
Yeah, more torturous way than just, like, stabbing her or something, I guess. But I don't know. Anyway, so they have a very reaction to that. And then Elijah starts going back over the, like, magical elixir that's supposed to just, like, bring Elena back to life.
Yeah.
She'll just die and wake up.
Yeah, he says... Yeah, Elijah says the elixir has, like, mystical properties of resuscitation.
Yeah.
So Elena will be dead. Like,
she will die.
She will die, but somehow this elixir will bring her back to life.
Yeah, which, Damon is the only one really that's, like, super skeptical, as, like, you probably should be about this. And he mentions, he's, like, trying to come up with anything else. He's like, the Gilbert ring, why can't she wear that?
Yeah.
Which Elijah is like, it probably won't work because Elena as a doppelganger is a supernatural occurrence. So, like, odds are, not gonna work. So they're looking for any way. And Damon asks Elena, like, what if it doesn't work?
Yeah.
And Elena goes, then I guess I'll just be dead. She's, like, so chill about it. And Damon is in disbelief. He's like, what? Like, and he whips and looks at Stefan, who just shrugs. He's like, we gotta let her do this.
This is a big episode for Elena where, first of all, I'm so not on her side in this episode. I'm like, she's so delusional. At this point, like, she's very clearly, like, in denial that she could actually die. Like, she does say it and acknowledges it, but I think she's very in denial. And I'll get into that more later. There's more that she says that I'm like, girl, It's not adding up. Like, unless you're fully delusional, it's not adding up. Yeah.
I mean, I think the thing is, like, Elena is, at the end of the day, willing to take the risk and is accepting that. My problem is more so Stefan here of just being like, eh. Which we'll get into that later. But obviously, Damon is the only one who's like, this is not okay. And so Damon just leaves because obviously he's like, I can't deal with these people. What is wrong with them? And Elijah stays and assures Elena and Stefan that, like, Klaus has been waiting 1,000 years to break this curse. Like, it is going down tonight. And, you know, one of the things they ask is, like, well, does he even have a werewolf? And Elijah's like, if he doesn't, he will by tonight.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Cut to acquiring that werewolf.
Yeah, cut to. We see exactly how Klaus is getting this werewolf. We cut to Carol Lockwood in the Lockwood mansion. She's walking up the stairs. She's on her phone. And we hear her leaving a voicemail, obviously to Tyler, about how she's been in an accident and is in the hospital.
Yep.
And as Carol walks up, and, you know, clearly she's in her house. She's not in the hospital. As she walks up the stairs, we see Klaus's witch, Maddox. And, you know, Carol sort of looks to Maddox. And Maddox is, like, at the same time that Carol is still on the phone with Tyler, he's mouthing along the words to her, like, as if he's feeding them to her. And she says, please, Tyler, come home. And Maddox is mouthing that. Come home.
Yeah, so good.
It's so good. The scene is
I was
wild.
Like, is that part of the spell that he has to say, like, mouthing the words puts them in turn? Because that's kind of cool if it does.
Yeah.
But then it was also like, he could just be silly goofy because it feels a little silly goofy. Like,
it is pretty silly.
He's just
yeah.
messing around.
Yeah, I know. I was like, we've never really seen someone use witch powers in this way.
No, it's like, no, like, puppeteering like this.
Yeah, or like almost like compulsion too. Because she... Yeah. Because Carol then, you know, she hangs up after asking Tyler to come home and looks at Maddox and she's like, why did I say that? Like, I don't understand why. And Maddox goes, because you had a terrible fall. And then he, like, sort of pushes her back with his powers. And she falls, like, back first onto the banister of the staircase and then all the way to the ground. And these are, like,
they're on, like, the
stairs.
Second floor to the first floor. Yeah, and also, like, falls is a generous term for it. I would say she's thrown.
She's thrown. No,
she is
thrown.
Like, her body is just flying
she's
across.
She's fully thrown. This would kill her. Like, actually, in real life, this would actually kill her.
Yeah, I think she shows up in the next one with just a broken arm. I was like, there's no way her back broke in this fall. Like, for sure.
Yeah, she literally lands back first on the banister of the stairs.
Yeah, but it only breaks an arm somehow. Which also, why is this necessary? He doesn't have a bone-breaking spell. He couldn't have just snapped her bones. Like, I
know. But also... More importantly, the call works. She doesn't actually need to be in the hospital.
Yeah, he could have just shown up anyway.
I know. He could have just said, like, come, I've been in a terrible accident.
Yeah. And then he just shows
story.
Up.
He shows up.
And gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was unnecessary
on their
part. It was
not necessary.
But it was fun
extra.
For the drama, so whatever. You got to do weird things when you're in Mystic Falls and you're bored, I guess.
What else
have you got? But anyway, back at the Salvatore house, back at the real drama going down, Damon is outside drinking. Mm-hmm. He's so over all of them. And Stefan's kind of like poking him about it. He comes out and joins him. And Damon says, like, he's surrounded by idiots. And Stefan says that Damon is not helping. Like, this energy is not helping anybody. And obviously, Damon is still, like, pissed off, I think pretty rightfully.
Yeah, of course.
And he questions Stefan, like, why is he willing to trust Elijah, a vampire, an original vampire, who they literally tried to kill, like, 2 days ago, like, multiple times.
And did. Like, why would they think that Elijah has forgiven them?
No.
Like, and would even ever be on their side? I don't know.
It's really weird. They definitely are just, like, operating on hope here. They're just like...
Clearly, yeah.
We
for
have
sure.
no choice, so we might as well.
Yeah, no.
That's kind of the vibe. And anyway, Stefan doesn't really answer that. He's kind of just like, I'm supporting Elena. Like, this is all I'm doing here is whatever she wants to do.
This is what kills me. He's like, you know, I trust Elena's instincts because Elena trusted me. This is Stefan saying this. Elena trusted me in spite of what I am. Like, all these things.
Yeah.
Stefan, she's 17.
Oh, my God,
is bad of her to trust you. You are literally a ripper.
Yes.
This does not show.
A 160-year-old vampire.
Yeah, you're 160 years old. She's 17. Like, why would you trust her instincts over your own?
Yeah.
Second, she clearly doesn't have good instincts. Like,
no, she's 17.
What?
Yeah, it's so... Because Damon says, too, when he says, like, I'm putting my faith in Elena. He's like, why? She's going to end up dead because of it. And this is where Stefan is like, well, she put her faith in me, so I'm going to trust her instincts. And it's like, And Damon's like, well, she trusted me too, so maybe you shouldn't trust her instincts. Like,
exactly.
What? Yeah, it's such a bad logic from Stefan here. I don't think this really, like, adds up, but...
No, it doesn't at all.
Yeah, and so Damon leaves. He's like, again, he's just like, every time he's going off and trying to be alone, and someone keeps interrupting him. So he's just trying to remove himself from every situation, like, can't put up with this.
If they just let him alone, this whole episode would have been different, but...
Yeah, it would have gone very differently. But anyway, so he goes off, and... Yeah, so we see inside Elijah and Elena have been, like, left alone in the library to talk. And he asks her, like, why is she even willing to do this? And she gives him the answer that she's been saying all episode, really, or all, like, arc, I guess, of this whole story. Is like, she doesn't want Klaus to hurt people, and especially not, like, because of her. She's the one person with the power to stop and prevent that. And Elijah gently reminds her, like, there is a chance that this elixir isn't going to work. Like, it is not a, like, you know, like, there's no way to promise that this is going to really, like, work. And she confirms, like, she knows and she's willing to take the risk. Like, she knows what she's getting into. And before they can really dig into that conversation, they hear yelling at the door. You hear Jenna yelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, they rush out. And we see that Alaric has arrived. And Jenna has a crossbow pointed right at him. This girl jumped right into this world so fast. Yeah. She was like, I'm in.
She's pretty good.
Give me a crossbow. Yeah. And they all show up. Damon, Stefan, everybody, like, runs out. And Damon is telling Alaric to prove himself. Like, prove that it is Alaric and not Klaus. And Alaric looks at Jenna and he says, the first night you and I spent together, Jeremy walked in right when I was about to, and then Jenna cuts him off. She's like, it's him.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Everyone kind of looks around awkwardly. I was like, why is that the first thing that came to Laura's mind in this situation? There's like no other way to prove that it's him.
Yeah. So many other things he could have said. But yeah. Sure.
That was the first one that came to mind. I guess it was a private moment that Klaus wouldn't know. So I guess it works.
Yeah.
So anyway, Stefan asks why Klaus even let Alaric go. Mm-hmm. And Alaric says that he was sent to deliver a message. The message is the sacrifice happens tonight.
Yeah.
Of course. They already knew that, but now it's confirmed. The messenger has delivered that.
Yeah, yeah. We know things are going down tonight. But a little break from the seriousness for a little joyful moment. We see, well, not really joyful, but Carol is in the hospital with her just broken arms. Yeah. She's like kind of fine. And we see, looking out the window of her hospital room, Tyler is there. Mm-hmm. He came back for her.
I like this moment. It's like a very short little scene, but there's a nice song that plays. It's very emotional. It feels very mother-son. It's very cute.
It's cute.
It's, of course, the indicator the werewolf for tonight has arrived.
Yeah.
That's the important part.
Exactly. Yeah. The Klaus's / Maddox's plan worked. Yep. The werewolf is here.
Yep. Yeah.
And then we go to the grill where, of course, Matt is working. He's always just at the grill.
Always.
And Caroline sort of like vamp speeds up behind him and like surprises him.
Yeah.
And they just talk about hanging out and they agree to hang out whenever Matt takes his break.
Yeah. Yeah. He says like, I have lunch in an hour. So she's like, oh, cool. Like, I'll just go run some errands really quick and be like right back.
Yeah.
Which is always a good indicator of like, you know, she's not going to be right back. Yeah. We know how these things go.
Yeah. If you say you'll be right back,
you're not going to be right back.
You just jinx yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. So she gives him a little kiss and leaves.
Yeah. Yeah. She leaves Matt. Which frees him up to go over and talk to Liz.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Her mother.
Yeah, yeah. And Liz is just sitting there at one of the tables, and Liz is immediately like, oh, does Caroline suspect anything of their honeypot scheme, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And Matt says no, and that, but, like, even though she doesn't suspect anything, he can't do this anymore because he's putting on the best show of his life.
He seems fine. Matt, you seem fine.
He's putting on no show. He's being the exact same as he always is.
Yeah, this is so confusing
to me. Which I guess is the show, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's the whole dishonesty of, like, knowing that there's, like, a secret that he knows.
Yeah.
Like, he has the secret now, so that's kind of... But yeah, it's like, Matt, when you're with her, seem completely fine, so I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, and he even goes on to say, you know, I'm putting on the best show, and either Caroline is too, or she's just the same old Caroline.
Yeah.
Which I think goes to show, like, he's not putting on a show because neither is she.
Yeah.
She's just herself and he's just being himself. Yeah.
He's just confused because he does go on to say when Liz is like, well, she's not the same. She has no soul. She's a vampire. Matt's like, I don't know what that means at this point. Like, I don't even know what a vampire is at this point because he doesn't know. He knows what Caroline kind of told him.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been able to ask any follow-up questions since it was compelled, quote unquote, out of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, Liz is giving him nothing. Again, she's just like, they have no soul. They're not human. And Matt's like, okay, like, what does that mean?
Sure.
But I do feel bad for Liz in this moment because, like, she brings up Damon, which is funny, her BFF.
I
She's
know.
Like, I thought he was my closest ally.
Girl, he was.
He was. Damon is the one killing half the people in the town for a little while, but he's not the problem anymore.
No, no.
But yeah, I feel bad for her for having to learn this about her daughter and the person she considered her closest ally. Friend, one of her best friends. That's rough. It is like a weird situation to be in. It's very confusing. But yeah, Matt is pushing Liz. He's like, why aren't you doing anything?
Yeah, if you're so upset by all of this, why aren't you doing anything? Valid question. And Liz just gives like the, I feel like this is like her... her, like, party line, like, she says because she needs more information.
Yeah.
But then, I think the real reason, she says she still looks at Caroline and just sees her daughter.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, she doesn't want to have to kill Caroline or do something else to her, put her away, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she,
Which is where Matt is, like, Damon is the problem.
Yeah!
Which I thought was so funny that this early on, Matt's, like, anti-Damon rhetoric has started. I'm like,
I know.
This carries for him throughout most of the show.
Yeah.
The only thing that changes is he adds Stefan to the list eventually, so.
Yeah, I guess that's
which
true.
Which is fair, considering he obviously already knows, like, Damon killed Vicky. That's, like, I'd have beef with him for life, like, obviously.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, of course. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I can't remember if it's explicitly told to him and if we see it, but I'm assuming Caroline told him.
Stefan killed Vicky, but Damon is the one that turned her, which I'm sure she told him. And that's obviously, like, it is Damon's fault that Vicky got in that whole situation. So, I'd have beef with him forever. I would never forget him for that.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
That's valid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, again, Liz is like, she says to Matt after this, she's like, I shouldn't have involved you, Matt. Thanks for all your help. I'll take it from here. And she, like, gets up to leave. It's like, this is how it should have been the whole time. He never should have been involved. He's a 17-year-old who's dating your daughter. This is not a sting operation.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
It's honestly, again, bad cop. Liz is a bad cop. Dirty cop.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Liz, pretty much the worst cop. Yeah, I have nothing more to add.
She's terrible
just the worst.
At her job.
She's so bad. That will really carry through the next few episodes. She gets worse.
Yes,
oh, my God.
Yes, she does. Way worse. Liz. Anyway, we'll come back to
Liz
at some point.
Yeah, we'll leave that there,
Back at the Salvatore house, Alaric, Jenna, Elena, Stefan, and Elijah are sitting in the living room, and Alaric is just, like, filling everyone in on, like, I don't remember what's been going on. And he mentions that Catherine was at the apartment, and Elena notices that Damon is missing, and so she goes upstairs to his bedroom, where she finds him standing, like, in front of his windows, which I love his room.
Oh, I do love his room
I love these,
so
like, big,
much.
Bright windows. It's so great.
I was thinking the same, yeah.
Love it. And he says, like, he doesn't want to hear any more of this. He didn't want to be down there because he's so over this. And she's like, I really want you to understand, like, why I'm doing this, which I find interesting because why does it matter? Like, why does he have to understand? Like, I don't know, which Damon kind of points out. He's like, why? It doesn't matter what I think.
Yeah, he says it doesn't matter what he thinks. Yeah.
Clearly, because she's not going to listen anyway. And she says, like, I'll be fine, like, I'll drink the elixir, I'll wake up, I'll be dead, and then I won't.
Delusional.
Yeah, delusional. Like, and she's like, this will all be over, Bonnie will kill Klaus, like, easy peasy.
Sure.
Damon clearly doesn't think that it's gonna work. The elixir, I don't know, any of it. And so he thinks they need to find another way, because it just isn't a risk that he's willing to take, that she could die. And he, like, points his finger at her while he's saying this. Like, it's not a risk I'm willing to take. And she takes his hand and says, but I am. And she holds his hand like that for a minute. And Elena. This girl, she cannot say. She doesn't know what she is doing in this scene. Like,
oh, she absolutely knows what she's doing. Yeah.
I feel like so far, Elena generally has been extremely faithful to Stefan in all the ways that have mattered in terms of, like, what is considered cheating or not. She's not cheated on Stefan. But this is one of those moments, because there are lots of flashes of these moments, and this is one of them for me, where it's like, Elena, this is...
Yeah.
How can you deny, like, what this is in this moment? Like, they're so close. It feels so intimate. And, like, she says to him when they're really close, and she says, it's my life, Damon, my choice. And he says, I can't lose you. And she says, you won't.
She's...
What are you doing, Elena?
No. This is, I'm not on Elena's side. I'm usually an Elena apologist, but not in this episode. This is so manipulative.
Yeah.
I don't love this. I don't know. Like, it does feel like she's kind of... using Damon's feelings about her to get him on board.
Well, see, that's the funny thing to me, is I don't think she's using his feelings for her. I think she also has feelings for him.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
and
clearly.
Is just tapping into that, because why does she care if he's on board or not?
True.
If she doesn't care about him in that way, you know, like to me, this is a scene where it's like, no, she also really cares about him and wants him on board. Not because it matters for the plan, but because she cares what he thinks. And so this is one where I'm like, I don't necessarily read it as like an intentional manipulation of his feelings, because she did that a lot at the start of the season.
True. Yeah, definitely not as bad as it's been.
No, this is like, I think she's genuinely also feeling for him and connecting to him and like,
yeah,
I don't know. This is a scene where I'm like, Elena, girl,
tiptoeing. You are dancing on the line.
She definitely has feelings for him. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It can definitely be chalked up to that.
Either way, we've lost the plot at this point. So to get back to it, Elena, after this, she turns around to leave.
Yeah.
But of course, that's not good enough for Damon. Damon is determined that he cannot lose her.
Especially because of this scene and how intimate and like how connected they were.
Yeah. I think this kind of pushed him along in doing what he's about to do.
Definitely.
So he is like, he bites his wrist. And what does he say to her when he like vamp speeds in front of her?
Yeah, he vamp speeds in front of Elena as she's about to leave. And he says, there is another way. Because they had been saying there's no other way.
Yeah, there's no other way for her to like live. And so he goes right for it, puts his wrist in her mouth and is force feeding her blood. And she like screams, Damon, no, before he does that. So, of course, she's like drinking this blood unwillingly. Yeah. And Stefan arrives, obviously having heard all of this. And he rushes in and pushes Damon off of Elena. And he says, like, what did you do? What did you do? He's just yelling at him. And Damon says, I saved her. So happy with himself.
I know. I love that he's just in this moment. He's like,
He's like, now she'll come back. Yeah, I gotcha. We're good. Yeah. And Stefan's like, she'll come back as a vampire. Yeah. Like, she's going to be a vampire now. And Stefan says, which this is the line that this all kind of boils down to for me, is how could you, of all people, take that choice from her? Again, Damon knows the torture of being turned into a vampire.
Yeah.
When you didn't like ask for it or like being unwilling in that, and he still did that to her. And then he, of course, references it by saying to Elena, go ahead, wish me an eternity of misery. Believe me, you'll get over it. Damon, it took you 140 plus years to get over it. Let's be real. And are you really still over it? I'm sure you're holding some resentment about that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And he only recently got over it.
A week ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I do think, well, especially because we do see the rest of the episode, he's very regretful.
And he is.
He definitely just didn't think it through.
Yes.
But I'm going to say something controversial yet so brave.
It's
so brave of me to apologize for everything Damon does. But I'm kind of on his side here. I'm like.
Interesting.
I just. Listen. Okay. Let me just take it from the top. Elena was willing to die anyway. Because the elixir was always a gamble. And even before, like, a day ago, they didn't even know the elixir existed. And she's been willing to die this whole season. That's, like, her hill she's been willing to die on, literally.
Yes.
So, after she turns into a vampire after the ritual, just don't complete the transition.
Yeah, but I don't think Elena ever wanted to choose to die. Like, that wasn't an option in her mind. I think the option was always, if she could stay alive, of course that was the thing she was going to choose,
I guess.
And so like choosing to become a vampire to live versus to die, of course she's going to choose to live and complete the transition. How could she just like come back from the ritual and be like peace, I'm gonna die again?
I don't know. I could see it. I feel like that's like a very like, okay, you get your last chance to say goodbye to everyone, like maybe you have your last day.
I mean, I think it comes down to like Elena does want the noble like martyr death. That's what it comes down to, I think, is like she wants to die in the sacrifice in a way that is like noble, to give herself over for the sake of everyone else, and like to do it the day after, like slowly,
kind of as like a vampire death
of just being like, all of you guys are vampires, that's cool for you, but not for me, I'm dying. Like, I feel like that's like a different tone for her that she doesn't want to do.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's part of it. I just don't understand how you can be so willing to die and willing to have, like, the worst outcome that potentially being a vampire but still alive isn't even slightly better. Like, I know Elena's whole thing.
Well, I think it is better than dying, being a vampire, for her.
I guess, but she's so, like, I don't know. She's so against the vampire thing. I just don't understand how that's not, like, a slightly better outcome. Like, I just don't even see.
Well, the problem is, I think it is a slightly better outcome, but by doing it, Damon has taken away the top choice. It's like having choices for like a school or like a job where you're like, you got your number one draft, staying alive, being a human, then you've got like your backups, and Damon turning her into a vampire is like forcing her into the the B tier, the C tier choice.
See, I guess, but I also don't necessarily think Damon could have known in this moment that this, like, giving her his blood is going to make the elixir, like, useless. Yeah. The elixir is so ambiguous. Who knows? It could still work. It could have never worked. Like, no one knows a single thing about the elixir that I'm like, I don't know. I feel like that was such a gamble. At least this is, like, a plan B.
Yeah. The problem is Damon's not even thinking that far ahead. He's just like, I need a sure thing. Yeah, I need a guarantee.
To be clear, like, for sure, he just did not think this through at all. This
obviously is spurred based on, like, what, like you said, the rest of the episode is spent in regrets. Because, again, like I said, for me, the whole thing comes down to the fact that Damon is saying, or that Stefan says to Damon is like, you of all people who wished me an eternity of misery because I forced you into becoming a vampire, like, you're the one that knows how she's going to feel about this more than anybody else.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that's what it boils down to, of like why it's so wrong, is that Damon knows. Like, he's personally gone through that. So that's like what makes it so wrong. But I agree with you. Like, being a vampire is better than, like, dying. Yeah. And better maybe than the elixir. Like, that's the thing that it comes down to ultimately, is we don't know what the elixir would do. Would it have worked? We don't know.
I was planning to mention this. I wish they had fleshed out the elixir, like, a little bit more.
Yeah.
At this stage, it's very just, like a last-ditch effort. They felt like they needed, like, literally like a plot device. They felt like they needed something to make it,
because we don't even know, come back. Where did Elijah get it from? Is it a reliable source? Did he buy it on Craigslist? Who knows? Like, what's the vibe?
We have no clue. Yeah, we know nothing about this elixir. No one does. So, yeah, I feel like they should have made it, like, slightly more clear what it was.
Yeah, at least have something we could latch on to, either to believe that it really could be true, or, like, kind of something to give it a little shady vibe where we're like, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, push us one way or the other. Don't leave it so weirdly ambiguous.
Yeah, but I do think that's kind of the point, in a way, to be like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It is a plot device, like you said, where it's like, it is rendered useless by this, and there are multiple other things now that are going to have to happen to keep Elena alive.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's such an interesting situation, and obviously spurs into what's going to happen now the rest of the episode of Damon trying to fix this problem.
Trying to walk this back a little bit. Yeah.
But of course, the moment we're still in, he is not there yet.
No.
Stefan pushes Damon back. You know, the boys are getting into their physical fighting stage now. And Damon is, like, goading Stefan. And he says, you just wish you had the balls to do it yourself.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Which is a little fair. I feel like Stefan does wish, but he'd never take the choice from Elena is the problem.
He does say as much on their little hike. That's true. Like, I wish I could have just told you to be a vampire.
Yeah, I want you to be a vampire. Yeah. But yes, so anyway, punches are being thrown. The boys are fighting. The boys are bleeding.
Yep.
Damon somehow gets a wooden stake of some sort.
Yeah, it looks like the bedpost or something.
He
broke
something. And he drives it into Stefan's stomach, obviously. Not killing him, but seriously injuring him. And Elena rushes over and pushes Damon off and tells him to leave. And she's trying to, like, comfort Stefan. At this point, Alaric and Jenna finally arrive.
Yeah, finally. They've
Where the
upstairs.
Heck have they been?
Yeah, they've been screaming. There's been a physical altercation. They finally arrived.
Not that those two could do anything anyway.
No, definitely not.
They show up and Elena tells Alaric to get Damon out of there, which I was like, what is Alaric gonna do?
Luckily,
Damon allows Alaric to, like, start to remove him, but then he does, like, push him off and, like, chooses to walk out himself.
Yeah.
And again, Stefan is, like, laying on the floor bleeding out. He's like, I'm so sorry, Elena. I'm so sorry. Stefan's default, just apologizing for anything and everything.
I'm so like Stefan in that way. I'm like, if I even feel like something, I'll apologize for anything. Yeah. You run into me, I'll apologize.
Yeah, you run into a chair. I'm sorry to the chair.
I'm sorry. But yeah, Stefan, the most apologetic.
Yeah, so he's feeling very guilty, as usual, for things that are not his fault, realistically. But the person whose fault it is, in the library, Damon has gone down to the library for a drink, classic, and Elijah is there packing up the elixir, and he says, like, well, you're not going to need it anymore. Like, as you said, the rules, who knows? He somehow knows that the vampire blood will make it not work. Okay. Sure. So he's packing it up, and Damon says, we both know it wouldn't have worked anyway. And I love Elijah here for calling out Damon. And I'm going to say the full line here because I love the full Elijah line. He says, the problem, Damon, you talk a good game, but you don't actually know anything. She'll never forgive you, and never for a vampire. It's a very long time.
Yeah.
Chills. I love Elijah.
I know. Yeah, Elijah took all the right beats, like, in saying this. Like, his tone was perfect.
Daniel's the best actor. Like, chef's kiss. The delivery is what makes that. I'm nowhere near. Go watch him say it because he can do it better.
Perfect.
But yeah, it's so good. It's such a good line, and it's such a gut punch to Damon.
It is. It definitely is. Yeah, there's something about, like, you know, if Elena and Stefan are mad at him, I feel like Damon can very easily just write that off and be like, I know what's best of these three.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something that's like, someone so much older and wiser.
Yeah.
It just feels like, oh.
Someone who's lived 1,000 years being like, yeah, we're a species who really holds, like,
exactly,
grudges.
Exactly, yeah. And, I mean, I don't know if this would necessarily factor in for Damon, but also Elijah and Elena very clearly get each other.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so I feel like this very clearly, like, changes Damon's mind.
Yeah, definitely is a, whoops, I really messed up. Yeah. Like, you can definitely see it on his face that he's like, oh boy. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's like the adrenaline of the Stefan fight has worn off and he's yeah, like coming he's back like, to oh, reality. What did I do?
Yeah. Although, I don't know. I always think about this scene and I'm like, I actually kind of feel like Elena would forgive Damon. It's so in her nature that I actually yeah. feel like she probably would have forgiven Damon in the end.
The problem is, she might have. The problem is, you just don't know as a vampire because True. It heightens your emotions.
Exactly.
And especially going into that with that anger at him, how that would get heightened. Like,
yeah.
we just don't know. We don't yeah. know what she would do. She could turn her emotions off straight away when she turned and just kill him. You just don't know.
Yeah, like, that's true.
That's the problem yeah. with, like, the vampire
turn.
Yeah,
you just don't know. And he is not willing to risk her being mad yeah. at him.
Well, because here's the thing. He did this because he wasn't willing to risk losing her. And by doing this, he has heavily risked losing her.
Yeah. In a much more painful way.
Yeah. Not to death, but literally just to hatred.
Yeah.
Which
like,
is
imagine
like,
if she's still alive and just hates him.
Yeah.
So much worse.
Yeah. It's just as bad. It's definitely like a... It was a... This is a lose-lose for Damon.
He's yeah. not doing too good. Yeah. Even though I stand by him, not...
it's not
going to play
out.
Out well. But yeah.
But yes, back upstairs.
Yeah. Anyway, Alaric, they've given Stefan blood and from the cellar. How he's drinking blood, I just...
Because he chugs a whole blood bag right
yeah,
here, which I'm
at
like,
least
he got
one.
Stabbed, so I understand he needs the revival. But like, isn't the whole point that Stefan can't handle
drinking
yeah. that much blood in one sitting?
Exactly. And I feel like this basically goes against the season finale, which
yeah.
he drinks way more blood then. But
still. Last time we saw him with his training with Elena, yeah. he was drinking a thimble, like
yeah,
a little
he was like a
thumb
drop
of blood.
He was like, I can have one drop of Elena's blood a day.
They really upgraded. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, this is kind of wild.
Whatever.
Anyway, yeah, a little bit of a interesting thing there. But then, you know, Jenna and Alaric leave to give Elena and Stefan space, and they go out in the hall, and they finally kind of have, like, a little
it's
conversation.
It's their first private moment. Yeah.
Yeah, their first private moment, which I didn't even realize. Mm-hmm. They hadn't talked yet until now. But they have, like, a little moment. They're talking about just everything going on and how crazy this must be for Jenna.
Yeah.
And Alaric sort of tries to apologize, but Jenna is basically just like, I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah.
And kisses him. And I'm like... I get that this is a lot that's going on. So Jenna is probably really over all of the Isabel stuff.
Yeah.
That would pale in comparison.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, it's whatever. True. But this forgiveness, and again, this is why I wouldn't have done this Jenna story arc the way the writers did. The forgiveness is so rushed. She's
yeah.
immediately like, okay, I forgive you. And it's obviously because, and here are those spoilers we always talk about. Obviously, she's going to die. So we
yeah.
don't want her to leave on a bad note.
Yeah, I think that's true.
But like, this just feels so rushed to me. I don't know.
I agree it's rushed, but I also don't necessarily disagree with it in terms of the fact that I think it's a nice comparison
yeah.
to show that, like, Jenna is an adult. Like, I think she understands that there's,
true.
Like, a lot more going on here. And she knows at the end of the day that it is something that she's going to be willing to forgive Alaric for.
Yeah.
And, like, and because she does say, because he says that he knows they have a lot to talk about. That's kind of his segue into an apology there. And she says... We do, but first, I should have told you this, like, as soon as I saw you. I'm glad you're okay. Which
yeah.
I feel like is an acknowledgement of the fact it's like, we've got a ton to work on.
We'll come back to it.
We'll come back to it,
yeah.
and let's, like, have this moment while we can because of all this craziness going on. So to me, I really like it because it feels like an adult relationship where they're, like...
I guess that's true, yeah.
In the mix of all these dramatic teenagers and teenage vampires,
yeah.
there is, like, an actual adult couple
yeah.
here who's, like, we've got some work to do,
yeah.
but we're agreeing that we want to do that work.
Yeah, yeah.
But I agree with you. It's because they want to leave it on a good note because she's going to die.
Exactly. Yeah, I just am always... My big through line is just justice for Jenna, so...
Justice for Jenna!
Justice for Jenna always. So I'm like, oh, see, this doesn't even work. Like,
yeah.
But I mean, it does work. I agree.
Yeah.
I do agree. But anyway. So they have their little moment. They kiss. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention, I also love the shot.
Yeah.
It's like in the hallway like up the stairs, like right when you come off the stairs.
Yeah, there's like a landing, and, like a balcony yeah. type thing.
Yeah, and I don't know if we've ever seen this angle of the Salvatore house before.
It's never been shot like this. No. I honestly was wondering how they did it. I need to look up like behind the scenes or something because yeah, I'm very curious.
So different. And yeah, I feel like it would be a hard place to film in because they're near the stairs, like near on the stairs. But
yeah.
So I thought that was fun. Just a good use of the space.
Yeah, I appreciated it.
Yeah. But back in Stefan's room, because they moved Stefan to his room, Elena and Stefan are talking, and Elena is basically like, how could he do that? And Stefan is like, let's go away for the day. That's all I have to say on this.
Yeah, there's not much to talk about. It's basically like, Stefan says, we've never talked about this, and clearly she doesn't want to. And so his plan is to just take her away and give her a day. And she's like worried at first, and he's like, don't worry. You'll get back in time. Nothing bad will happen. But like, we need a day.
Yeah, we need to take time.
So that's what they're going to do. We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
But first, we have to go check in at the hospital, where Carol has now fallen asleep in her hospital bed. She's nice and cozy. And so Tyler leaves the room, and he sees Jules has arrived. She's chased him to Misty Falls.
Yeah, this scene threw me for a loop, because I assumed they came together.
And then the dialogue, I was like, nope, they didn't.
Yeah, his first line is like, what are you doing here?
She's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, it's like, what? Yeah, literally, that's basically how it goes down. So I was like, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess Jules was against him coming.
Yeah.
So she just followed him up here,
to drag him back. Because the full moon again is tonight, if we've forgotten the sacrifice. True. So she's basically like, we gotta go. We gotta go lock up.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm leaving. You know, like, he definitely just wanted to see his mom quick and turn around and go back. And so we see them in the parking lot, and they run into Caroline and have the most awkward interaction. That. Obviously, Caroline was kidnapped by Jules and tortured by her and her whole friends and boyfriends and whatever.
Yeah.
And so Jules does, though. She, like, gives Tyler a moment. She's like, you can have a few minutes. A few minutes, Tyler.
Yeah.
Warden keeper here.
Come on. Yeah. She runs Tyler's training, wolf training, like the Navy.
Yeah, she really does. But yeah, so they get a moment to talk alone, Tyler and Caroline, and they talk about Jules, they talk about his mom, and then he's pretty much like, bye, I gotta go again.
Yeah.
And Tyler feels so different in this scene to me. He feels much more like calm, balanced, especially post how we last saw him. Like, even with it being the full moon tonight, I was appreciating that, like, this Tyler felt very different than the last time we saw him.
Yeah, it does help justify his leaving, because it does feel so abrupt and, like, odd that he would even go with Jules in the first place. So it does feel like, okay, he has worked on himself.
Yes, I definitely appreciated like the tonal difference in him in this scene. I was like,
definitely,
this is why you let him leave for a few episodes, so that he can come back and be like a different character.
Yeah, exactly.
He needed that reset.
Definitely.
So anyway, so he like goes to leave, and Caroline looks like she's about to stop him. Like, she calls like Tyler, and she turns towards him. And right as she does that, of course, the witches, Greta and Maddox, appear, and they magically like knock them out. They give Caroline vervain, and they kidnap them, obviously.
Classic. We know where that's going. We knew already Tyler was going to be the werewolf, because there are so few.
But now Caroline's
we know Caroline is the vampire. Yeah, sad. And of course, Caroline is just missing after this. And as we said earlier, she was supposed to go meet Matt on his lunch break for them to just like hang out, whatever.
Yeah.
And we see Matt at the grill leaving a voicemail for Caroline. And he's like, where are you? I thought we were meeting. And Matt tells Caroline he needs to talk to her.
Yeah, something important. Something little important. Hint that he might be about to break.
Yeah, exactly. He cannot keep up with his honeypot scheme. He's been giving this his all, or putting his life into the, like, I don't know. He's putting his whole mantussy into his life. This. Yeah.
Mantussy, not the mantussy. Oh, no.
He's been putting everything into this, and he can't do it anymore. So he's trying to get Caroline on the phone. And also, is he going to, I guess, break up with her over the break, like on his lunch break?
Who knows?
Anyway.
Matt doesn't even know.
He's wild. And we'll see more of that. But for now, we see Damon and Alaric come into the grill, and they go
also,
to the bar.
Also, I want to point out, Matt notices Damon. It's like, Matt notices Damon. He's watching Damon. And then, we cut to Matt, or Damon, sitting at the bar, classic, where Alaric quickly joins him for a drink.
Of course, classic. Back to the classic Damon and Alaric action.
Yeah, love.
So they're at the bar. Damon is like, he's having a drink because he says to Alaric, I screwed up. And Alaric is just like, yeah, you did.
Friends, real friends.
Yeah. Alaric is a real one for that. And of course, like, we hear a voice behind him saying, gentlemen, why so glum?
Love it.
Obviously, Klaus. He looks so good. I replayed this scene a couple times. I was like, I love him.
Yeah.
I mean, we've only just recently gotten the face reveal. So yeah. I'm like, I love him. Yeah,
still fresh.
Yeah. So he, Klaus comes up behind them. And Damon is, of course, he hasn't met Klaus in his real body yet. So he's like, Klaus, I presume.
I love that line. I love the way Ian delivers it. This is one of those moments for me where I'm like, Ian is a good actor. Like, Klaus, I presume, could be such a boring line. It is a boring line. It's a Klaus, I presume. Yeah. Doesn't really sound like much. But the way Damon says it, like his head hanging, he's so defeated. Like, not another thing. Like, I'm dealing with too much right now. Like, he puts all of it in there. I'm like, Ian... Yeah. Good job. I love you.
Yeah. He's just trying to have a drink with his bestie.
So over it. Here comes Klaus, I presume.
Yeah. Love that. Anyway, Klaus is like, yes.
Yep. Confirmed.
And he confirmed. And he looks to Alaric and he says, thanks for the loaner, mate.
And Alaric nods. Alaric's like, I got you.
Yeah, Mark literally gives him, like, the classic male, like...
Yeah, the one head nod.
If you're audio, you gotta come watch just this second.
Just for the head nod.
It just does a little nod.
Yeah, it's so funny. I love that. Thanks for the loner. And I was just, like, pretty chill with it.
I'm like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
He killed it. Yeah.
Body snatching.
Yeah, Alaric's just like, sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
No problem.
But Klaus gets down to business right after that.
Yeah, of course.
He starts lecturing Damon. He's like... You know, tonight, don't do anything you'll regret. Like, I've heard about you and your brother being in love with my doppelganger.
Yeah.
So, and he says, do not do anything you'll regret, which Damon immediately starts laughing. And he's like, I don't remember what he says, but it's just obviously so ironic with obviously what has just happened.
Yeah, he's already it's clearly so full like, of regret.
Yeah, you should have told me that an hour ago, Klaus.
Yeah.
Thanks. And yes, so then Damon literally asks Klaus to postpone the sacrifice tonight. He's like, you don't think you'd mind pushing it back a month, would you? And Klaus is like, he's kidding. And then he looks at Alaric and he's literally like, he's kidding, right? Alaric and Klaus, little bond right here.
I know, I was singing in this. I'm like, I wish they fleshed out this friendship a little bit
more.
Yeah, it was
a good dynamic in this moment. Because Alaric's like, not really.
Yeah, no, he straight up tells Klaus, no, he's serious. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like shocked that Alaric is comfortable even talking to Klaus in this moment. But yeah, they really interact right here.
Yeah.
And so then Klaus very clearly lays down the law to Damon. He looks at him and he says, like, I will kill you if you mess this up tonight.
Basically,
Yeah, that's basically what it boils down to is, do not screw this up. Yeah. If you screw this up, I will kill you tonight.
Yes.
And he leaves. And Alaric turns to Damon and goes, you're going to screw it up, aren't you?
Damon is like, yeah.
Yeah, Damon's like, so here's how we'll do it.
Yeah.
Like, just immediately turns to planning mode. And he's like thinking, like, if I get rid of the werewolf, then Klaus won't be able to do the sacrifice. This will buy Elena another month. And then she won't be mad at me for turning her into a vampire unwillingly.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's
adds up.
Yep.
And again, Alaric reminds him, like, Klaus will kill you if you mess this up.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if Elena forgives you for this, for buying her another month, because
you'll
be dead. You'll
be dead. And Damon's like, so are you gonna help or no? Like, let's do this.
Alaric's like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, he's like, you're gonna do it anyway.
I always think when I'm watching Vampire Diaries, I'm like, which pairing are Sarah and I? Are we like Bonnie and Elena, or are we Caroline and Elena? We're Damon and Alaric.
We're so Damon and Alaric.
It's so Damon and Alaric. Like,
it's like, so you're going to do this thing that's like going to like gonna be kill really, you. Yeah, it's going to be really bad. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What's the plan? What's my role? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Give me the notes. Yeah. Damon's fully okay with dying if it means that Elena won't be mad at him for like a century. So.
Yeah. Even if he's not going to be around to see it.
Yeah.
So.
It's logical. It's logical. I got to say.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah. Back at Stefan and Elena, we see they've on a hike. This is like the day trip that Stefan has recommended. They're walking through the woods up like the side of a mountain, and he's saying like the final destination is still a surprise. He like won't tell her like where they are, and she jokes about her legs getting tired because she's not a vampire yet.
Yeah.
And he asks if that means that she's ready to talk about it, about the fact that she's gonna be a vampire now. And Elena's like, I can't talk about it. I literally can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And as usual, like, this is, we've talked about before, Elena is delusional. She's in denial. She's
literally so in denial,
just trying to avoid it, which he says, like, that's your choice. It's your choice. We don't need to talk about it. And yeah. he says, it's your day, which I really like. Yeah. Stefan is pretty cute when he, like, wants to be.
I know. He has a lot of good moments at the end of this season, which is really good. Does. Because, obviously, season three is not so great.
Yeah, next season's not so good for him. But, yeah, they go back to talking about the hike. And Stefan is just so funny to me for choosing a hike for her last human day. I was like,
this is random.
Was, yeah, so random. They've never, either of them, talked about hiking or enjoying the outdoors before. But, like, it's so funny to be like, for your last human day, I'm going to make you hike.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
I like it, though. It feels very so pensive. Cute. Contemplative.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Agreed. It is a good, it's like a good activity for the actual day. It's funny because it's her last human day.
Yeah.
And it is cute. It's a good all-around thing.
It works, yeah.
Yeah. And so we're kind of checking in and out with them throughout the episode, so we're going to pull it together a little bit. Later we see, like, Stelena are sort of talking about the vampire thing. Elena says, like, oh, well, Bonnie is gonna need to make me, like, a daylight ring. And she's like, and I'm not gonna be able to watch Bambi ever again. Which I was like, that's such a Damon-coded joke from Elena. Yeah. That's such a, yeah, that feels like a Damon thing to joke about Bambi, but love it.
And I think Damon has made a joke about Bambi to Stefan before.
Has.
Yeah, definitely.
He has to have. And so she ends up asking Stefan, this is where it gets a little more serious, is like, what's the best part about being a vampire? And he says, like, it's the feeling you can do anything. It's the heightened beauty and love and the intensity of life. And then she asks him, what's the worst thing? Which he's like, you know the worst thing.
Obviously, yeah.
And she's like, well, other than the blood. And I want to say this full line that he says to her in answer to this, because I think it's very interesting, and it basically predicts Elena's future as a vampire when it does eventually happen. Stefan says, anger becomes rage. When you're sad, you're in despair. Grief, loss, it can cripple you. That's why so many of us turn our emotions off. It just becomes too overwhelming. And they go back to hiking, and I think Elena's, like, really letting that, like, line settle in, because I think that is such a... That's such a thing for Elena, especially calling out, like, the grief and the loss. The fact that as a vampire, like, that is, as a human, grief and loss are crippling. I can only imagine how as a vampire having those things specifically being heightened is, like, an anger and rage. Like, it's like, yeah, I think that's a thing that for her, it's like, she knew about the blood, obviously. That's why was like, what else other than the blood? And I think hearing this is like a...
Yeah, especially because Stefan also says on, like, the tail end of that, he says... And for a while, the good just wasn't worth the bad for me, for him. And I think that gives Elena a lot to think about, because I feel like, you know, she obviously very, like, pretty much only sees the one side of Stefan. She knows a little bit about, like, the bloodlust and everything.
Yeah, but she knows the good side.
She knows the good side. So I feel like that's really, like, that really gets her thinking. Yeah. Like,
and I think in this scene, too, this is where she asks, like, well, how long until you learn to control it?
Yes.
And he's like, I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
He's 140.
Every day, he says.
Yeah. Every day, I'm still working on it. I think that's a huge realization to Elena of, like, again, Stefan and Elena love to live in a fantasy world of pretending they're normal people and they're not. So they've never talked about this stuff. And
that is crazy to me.
Yeah, I'm only going to keep bringing that up throughout this scene.
I know.
But yeah, it's interesting they're finally talking about this. And I think her letting that settle in is definitely like, oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I actually do really love this hike. Like, just because I feel like this talks about so many of the things we were talking about in season one.
Yes.
It's like, why are we not thinking about what it would be like for Elena to become a vampire? Like, what's the trajectory of their relationship if she doesn't? Like, so many of these questions
they
that we've been wondering.
The time.
And they avoid. Yeah, it's like, okay, finally we're talking about them.
Yeah, finally.
Really took a lot to push them to it.
Yeah,
but
Elena literally getting
okay.
forcibly turned into a vampire, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we'll leave Stelena to have their little hike. Back at Alaric's apartment, Catherine is still holed up in there.
Yes, scavenging through the fridge for any little blood bag she can find.
Exactly. Yeah, all the blood bags in the fridge are, like, basically dry. They have just, like, a little bit left in them. And suddenly Catherine hears, like, a key in the lock. And she goes over to the door, and Alaric is there in the doorway. And he doesn't really go into the apartment. And Alaric tells Catherine he's there to invite him in.
Yeah.
Him, of course, being Damon.
Yeah.
Love that.
And like, I love when Damon gets invited in by Alaric. He does this jaunty little step over the doorway.
Yeah,
little kick step. He feels it's like so, like, a goofy little snap. I don't know. It's so cute. I think it's funny.
It's fun. Yeah.
He's got a new lease on life. Nothing to lose.
I was going to say, it's his last day. He's got nothing else to lose. He goes inside. Alaric's invited him in. And Damon rushes over to Catherine and tells her that he's here to collect on giving Catherine the vervain. Mm-hmm. And Daemon tells Alaric to leave because Alaric doesn't have to be involved in this.
Yeah.
And just like, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, he tells him to go back to the house to make sure that Elena doesn't hand herself over to Klaus. Like, make sure to buy time for Daemon to do what he's going to do.
Yeah, exactly. So Alaric leaves and Daemon asks Catherine where Klaus is keeping the werewolf because he's going to kill the werewolf to postpone the ritual. Mm-hmm. Catherine is, of course, like, no, like, don't do that. Like, not a good idea. And Daemon tells Catherine that she should be happy that he wants to delay the ritual because it will buy her another month of her pathetic life.
Yeah.
And Catherine tells Daemon, of course, she's not the vampire that Klaus is going to use. He's using Caroline Forbes as the vampire and Tyler Lockwood as the werewolf. If that wasn't clear from the witch kidnapping, confirmation now. Obviously, Daemon is not pleased by that, since this is another person that Elena loves.
He's like, where did Klaus get that idea, Catherine?
Yeah, exactly. Daemon is like, I wonder who gave him that idea.
Yeah.
And Catherine says, you know, her classic line, she's just trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, Daemon still tries to get the information about where Caroline and Tyler are being kept. And Catherine is unwilling to hand it over, the information. So Daemon is like, what if I told you Elena has vampire blood in her system? And Catherine was immediately like, what?
Like, he knows. He knows how to get to her.
He gets her. And Daemon is like, so just imagine competing with Elena for Stefan's love for all of eternity. And Catherine's like, oh, they're in the tomb.
I love that that works. It's so funny.
I know. It's brilliant. I think this is a really good scene for Nina acting. Yeah. I'm like, I just love this scene.
Yeah.
Like,
I love. And Catherine. Damon's like, perfect. He goes right out the door.
Yeah,
and
he's like, I'm out. Yep. Yeah.
Time to go. Literally to the tomb is where our next scene is, which then we get to see what's going on at the tomb, of course. Caroline and Tyler are, like, chained up against the wall. They're on opposite sides facing each other. Tyler's already awake just looking at her. She had vervain in her system, so obviously it took her longer. And he says they can't break the chains. Like, they both have tried. And Tyler asks, like, who were those witches? Like, what is going on? And Caroline says she thinks they're with Klaus. And Tyler says, who the hell is Klaus? I was screaming.
Oh, my God, me too. I was like,
Tyler. If you only knew.
Tyler, your world is about to be rocked.
your number one enemy is about to be born, and he doesn't care about you at all.
Yeah, he doesn't think about you at all.
Yeah, but this is all you're gonna think about for years now.
Yeah.
So who is Klaus?
Yep.
Tyler is probably like, why did I come back? Someone's always getting kidnapped, someone's always getting tortured. Exactly. What is wrong with this town? Literally crazy, which is true.
Yeah.
He's right for thinking that, if that's what he's thinking. Yeah,
exactly.
But back at, speaking of people getting tortured all the time.
Of course.
Back at Alaric's apartment, we see Klaus arrives as Catherine is, like, making her coffee. And he immediately clocks that something is up as soon as he walks into his apartment, which I was like, what? How? Why? Like, is it his werewolf senses? Like, he can smell that Daemon was there, or he can smell vervain somehow? Like, I couldn't tell how he knows, but
he knows something's up.
We don't, us mortals don't get to know because Klaus is just, he's Klaus. He knows.
He's just that good. Also, I love that he's still using Alaric's apartment as his little home base.
Yeah, I was like, why not move anywhere else? Because what happens later, obviously, is like, he doesn't know who's been invited in. Why not go somewhere else? So, yeah, it's so funny. Wild. But anyway, he knows something's up. So he immediately rushes over to Catherine and he grabs her and he compels her. Of course, we know she has vervain in her system. But he asks, like, what have you been doing? And again, we know the vervain. So she says, just making coffee. She can fake her way out of this. Mm-hmm. And so Klaus is obviously still suspicious. So he tells her to take off her daylight bracelet and go stand in the sunlight. And she's like, but I'll burn.
Yeah, it'll kill me. He's like,
do it. You don't have a choice. So, of course, she does have to just go do it. And so she just stands in the sunlight screaming through it as she burns. And while she's burning, I noticed in the background, Klaus takes Catherine's coffee and takes a sip of it. And he kind of makes a face. And so I was wondering.
Oh, interesting.
Was she dumb enough to put her vervain in the coffee and he, like, tasted it? Or I don't know. I was like, if it wasn't in the coffee, he was checking for it for sure.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I noticed he takes a sip of her coffee, but I didn't really think too much of it. But that makes a lot of sense. Like,
I'm positive he was checking for vervain. He must
have been. Yeah, even if it wasn't in there, he definitely was checking. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I don't know if she would be dumb enough to put it in there, though. I feel like Catherine is so smart.
Yeah, she wouldn't, like, risk having it in something that he would be, like, potentially drinking out of. Yeah. And also, when Damon gave it to her, she drank it straight out of the thing. So exactly. I would think that she's drinking it straight. But, you know, I don't know. You just don't know. Either way, he's definitely checking for it. He knows she's on vervain.
For sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Which is why he makes her do this, is the torture of having to burn into the sunlight.
Yeah.
And so he tells her she can stop, and she rushes out into the shadows, and she's just like, and he says, guess I was wrong. All right, then. I need you to do something. So, yeah, Klaus is setting the games. He says to Catherine, I need you to do something for me. Of course, right now, we don't know what that is, but we'll find out later.
Yeah.
Back at the tomb.
Yeah, back at the tomb. Go back there. We see Damon has arrived on the scene. He's in the woods outside of the tomb. Mm-hmm. And Maddox is there. And sort of, you know, Damon is looking around. He doesn't see Maddox at first. And then Maddox asks Damon if he who he's trying to save, and if he really thought Klaus was going to leave the werewolf and the vampire unprotected.
Yeah.
And Damon just says wishful thinking, and then rushes over to Maddox and like pins him on the ground and starts like trying to kill him. But then Maddox, of course, just uses his witch powers and throws Damon back. Clearly. Yeah. No problem. And Maddox sort of gets the upper hand on Damon, and Damon is getting like the headache, and he starts screaming. And it's out of nowhere, there's a gunshot, and we see Maddox drop to the ground to reveal Matt with a rifle.
Yeah, Matt Donovan showed up on the scene and just shot somebody.
That's insane.
Literally, actually, like, crazy, because Matt has no idea who this is. Why did he just escalate? He escalates straight to shooting. Not even a warning shot. He couldn't have shot straight up into the sky to make them stop first or something. He wasn't curious at all who this man was. He just shot him.
Also, his whole intention, I'm assuming, based on him seeing Damon in the grill and what he said to Liz earlier, he's out to get Damon, presumably.
Matt hates Damon.
He hates Damon.
Why would he protect him?
Yeah, what? I don't know. I feel like this is like a...
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Matt is just all shoot first, ask questions later. Who cares?
Exactly.
That is Matt's rhetoric in the next few episodes.
Better shoot to ask first. Forgiveness and permission.
Basically.
Going for it.
Literally.
But anyway, Matt's standing there with his rifle, obviously. He shot Matt. And then Damon is obviously like very suspicious. And he snaps Maddox's neck just to be sure. Mm-hmm. And Damon is basically like, what? Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And Matt is just like, where's Caroline? And he's aiming the gun at Damon. And Damon tells Matt that he's there to rescue Caroline. And he rushes over to Matt, like, vamp speeds over him and hits him with the butt of the rifle to knock him out.
Yeah, like, of course, so easy to just take out Matt.
Exactly. Just taking out Matt. He's like, I can't deal with this. And he says as much. He's like, this is, like, not the time.
Yeah.
And
he notices the gun. He like takes the ammo out of it, and he notices they're wooden bullets, which where did Matt get wooden bullets? Is that a thing you can just buy? I don't know enough about guns, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking before just now, I was like, maybe Liz gave them to him, but she told him to stay out of it, so probably not.
I can't imagine she's arming a 17-year-old. Yeah, no. If she is, she's a worse cop than we thought, and she was already really bad.
I know, I already thought basically the worst of her, so if she was just giving Matt these bullets...
I had to imagine he acquired them somehow on his own.
He must have. Yeah, I don't know how else he could have just like gotten them, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
He has them. Yeah. And Damon's obviously like, so he knows.
Yeah. Yeah. So Damon realizes that he knows, but Matt is knocked out, so he's fine. Damon goes down in the tomb where Tyler and Caroline are sort of looking at each other. They're like, you know, still chained up. Damon hasn't arrived yet. And we're clearly coming into the middle of the conversation that Tyler and Caroline were having that they alluded to in the earlier scene where it's like, who the hell is Klaus?
Yeah. Caroline's caught him up.
Yeah. Caroline is filling him in, and Tyler says, so the curse is fake? Like, so he's fully caught up. And Caroline confirms that. And she says, you know, we're probably the werewolf and the vampire that are going to be killed in the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And at this point, Tyler mentions that Jules has been helping him come to terms with everything he is, blah, blah, blah. And then Tyler's like, I guess none of that matters anymore.
Yeah.
Sad. And they just keep talking about Tyler and why he left and everything. And at this point, finally, Damon arrives. I'm like, I have no time for this Caroline, Tyler.
Yeah, I was going to say, because first of all, Caroline, instead of talking about the sacrifice and how they're about to die and being existential, Caroline's like, why did you leave me?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say goodbye? Like, I was like, my God. Caroline,
I'm like,
love you, but there's no time for this. I hate that this is her plot for these episodes. It's just the teenage romance of being between these, like, boys. I'm like, this is such a... she deserves better. She gets it later. She does
better. And it feels like it doesn't really fit with how much growth that Caroline has had yet.
No. But, yeah, but she's telling Tyler, I never hated you.
Yeah.
They're making connections. And then, like you said, Damon shows up. And he tells Caroline that Matt, he's like, your boyfriend's outside with a rifle.
And wooden bullets. Yeah. Like, you have some explaining to do. Yeah. Obviously.
Which she's shocked. She's like, what? Yeah, like, he doesn't know anything.
Yeah, exactly. Because she still doesn't know. And, of course, you know, Damon, of course, says she has the explaining to do. But Damon says it's tomorrow's problem. Obviously, yeah. Like we were just saying, they have bigger things to worry about. So Damon frees Caroline and he tries to leave with just Caroline. But Caroline's like, I'm not leaving without Tyler.
This scene kills me because Damon, he like sighs. And then Caroline and Damon both turn to look at Tyler and he's just sitting there blank, like just staring at Damon, like no facial expression, just staring. It's so funny. I'm gonna have to show you later. Yeah. You guys, I'll post it for you somewhere. My God. Because it's so funny. He's just sitting there and Damon's just like, and he lets him go. And he says, don't make me regret this.
Yeah, And Damon is, at first, he's just kind of like, well, how fast can you get away? Because obviously he's about to turn.
Yes, exactly.
And yeah, he kind of like reluctantly helps him out. So,
which
yeah.
realistically, they probably should have just left him there because without Maddox, Tyler would have just turned and then been a wolf and been out of it.
Yeah.
Because he needed a wolf or a witch to put a spell on him to make him not turn fast like they do to Jules.
Yeah. So, yeah, and he's chained up. So I'm like, that does kind of feel like the safest option. I don't know.
They probably should have left him there, but whatever. They get him out.
Anyway.
Back to the hike.
Yep. Yeah, on the hike. At this point, Stefan and Elena have made it to the top. They're, you know, they start to marvel at the beauty.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sunset. They're at the top of a hill.
Yeah, yeah, they're having, it is very pretty. It is very nice. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I get Stefan's thinking and breathing here. And, you know, they just take a moment to, like, really take it all in and appreciate the little moment they're having. And Stefan is like, you can say it. Which I love this. I love it's like, say it.
It's Edward Cullen. It's say it out loud.
It was really giving me that vibe. I was like, say it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But he's like, you can say what you've been wanting to say but haven't said because you're scared about how it'll make me feel.
Yeah.
So sweet. Mm. Sweet baby Stefan.
I know. I do love Stefan in these late season two eps.
Yes. Yeah, he's really good. And so she's like, it's not going to change anything. Like, saying it is not going to help. But he does say, he's like, it might make you feel better just to say it. And that he kind of goes on to say, they're kind of going back and forth about this, and he goes on to say, like, he's thought about it, and, like, he's even thought about it before Klaus had arrived. Mm-hmm. And they're not even saying, like, what it is, but it clearly is Elena turning into a vampire. And so, yeah, he admits, he's like, I've thought about it even before Klaus was here, which I really appreciate Stefan acknowledging that he, of course, wants Elena to be a vampire. Like, he says, he's like, I want to be with you forever.
Yeah.
And so I think it's, like, nice to bring that up, that it's like, yeah, of course I want you to be a vampire with me, but like, I'm not gonna take that choice. And that's what he says too. He's like, it felt selfish to bring it up. If you had wanted it, you would have told me, and so I wasn't gonna like put that on you. So I really liked that. But
I know, good Stefan moments. Good Stefan moment.
But then the segue into the acknowledgement of Elena being like, well, that didn't stop Damon. Yeah. Like, clearly.
But I feel like this keeps with the good Stefan moments, because Stefan says, you know, Damon shouldn't have done that, but he did it because he loves you. And I was like, I really feel like a lot of Stefan's, I mean, he's having a lot of great moments right now, but Stefan's best moments are with respect to Damon.
Yes.
They really nailed, like, their relationship.
Yeah, the brother.
It's so good.
Yeah, the love and hatred that we all have for our own siblings is, like, it's perfectly depicted here, how they can be your worst enemy, but also you ride so hard for them.
Exactly, exactly. I'm like, I just love Stefan and Damon. Yeah. Love them so much.
Yeah, yeah. He did it because he loves you.
Yeah.
And Elena responds, but he did this to me, which means he doesn't really know what love is. It's clear to Elena, I think, or it's clear to me, not to Elena in this moment, but it's clear to me that for Elena, love is being selfless. It's doing things kind of against your own, like, wants and desires for another person, which is why you see, in, like, Stefan here saying that he didn't want to say this to Elena because it would be selfish. Like, this is why she's so aligned with Stefan now, and why in season three, she's going to really appreciate Damon, because he does start to be much more selfless. And so, yeah, I love that carries through the series, that the line that she says here about, like, Damon doesn't know what love is because he did this to me in a selfish act.
Yeah.
That really carries. But she goes on to say after this, she says, I don't know, like, if I know what love is. I'm 17 years old. How am I supposed to know any of this yet? Which I hate when they acknowledge that she's 17. I'm like, it makes it so icky for me that she's, like, 17 dating a 160-year-old. But
I know. There's something about this that I'm like, I get the point they're trying to get at is that she's just so young. She hasn't lived.
Which I appreciate, but I'm like, acknowledging it on the day that she might die.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so maybe not talking about that with your boyfriend.
The placement is maybe not the best, but yes.
Yeah, but she goes on to say, too, because I think it's kind of like a realization of telling your boyfriend, I don't know what love is, even though I've told you I love you. She's like, but I do know that I love you. Like, I love you, Stefan. But she was supposed to deal with her own future and their future together. Like, as those things came up, she was supposed to grow up. She was supposed to have a lifetime of choices. And she feels like all of that is gone now as becoming a vampire, which I'm like, girl, you still have a lot of choices. But I get what she's saying. She's like, you can't have a family now. You can't go to, like, college and be a normal person anymore.
Yeah. See, this is where I'm like, oh, I can't with Elena in this episode.
That's funny.
Girl, you were ready to die. You were about to have literally no choices. You were about to literally not exist anymore.
But I think Elena was operating on the fact that something somehow would work out and she would be human. And
delusional.
Yeah. It is delusional. It is. She's not grateful for the fact that she definitely will live now, because she's focused on the fact that she was hoping for the outcome of living as a human, and she's now having to compromise with the idea of living as a vampire, which I get what you're saying. I think you're right that, like, girl, you could have died so easily.
Yeah.
And you're not, like, acknowledging that.
Yeah.
But again, she was willing to die. But now the, like, idea of living and not living in the way that she hoped is, like, it's another thing to grieve. It's another thing to have to deal with. Yes. And so Stefan tells her here, he says, like, okay, like, say it.
Yeah.
And so she finally says it. I don't want to be a vampire, Stefan. I never wanted to be one.
Can't relate.
Can't relate. But he says, I know. And then they hug. Yeah. And it's very sweet. I know you're kind of anti-Elena this episode, but I actually really feel for Elena in this episode, but in this moment so specifically. Like, everything that her life was supposed to be, everything that she envisioned for herself, ended the moment that her parents drove off of Wickery Bridge, and has just gotten, like, worse and worse and changed and changed. And, like, this is such a culmination of that, in my opinion, that, like, I don't know. I just feel so intensely for her. And I think that Nina does a lot to really sell that here.
Definitely.
She's such an amazing actress. And she starts, Elena's crying through most of this conversation. Yeah. Like, especially by the time she says, I don't want to be a vampire, she's, like, fully crying. And Nina sells that so well. And I was, like, tearing up watching it. I was getting emotional. And I just feel so much empathy for Elena in this moment. I'm like, people love to call her a crybaby and talk about how she's so, like, whiny and stuff. But I'm like, that is just not true in all contexts. Yes. Especially, like, something like this. I'm like, how can you not, like, be so emotional in this situation? Like, none of us can imagine what this feels like of having to experience like your parents dying, your biological mother dying, being forced to turn into a vampire and, like, die in a ritual. Like, I don't know, her life is so intangible to all of us that I'm like, I feel for her so strongly. And I hate when people harp on her, and I know that's not what you're doing, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I just think that, like, Elena in this moment, it's so fair to be so emotional about all of this, you know.
Yeah, I do see exactly what you're saying. Yeah, I am really, only just calling out, like, but you were willing to die, so it kind of doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
But yes, absolutely. Like, yeah, her life is nothing like what she expected. No one can even fathom, like, the things she's being put through.
Yeah.
Just the thought that she would even have to make this decision, live or die, die or be a vampire. Like, it's, like, so unfathomable. But it is very, very sympathetic.
Yeah.
I do agree with that on the whole. Like,
and it's probably only been literally a year since her parents died, which is also,
I think,
so
less.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe less. Yeah. I think we're around springtime, so we're probably getting pretty close. But either way, it's like, this has all just been an insane year for her of just so much emotion and grief and, like,
Yeah,
I feel for Elena in this scene. And again, Nina's acting is what sells it. Her, like, crying.
Oh,
like, kills me. I'm so emotional watching it.
I know. And I do think, you know, like, to your point before, I do think it's also sticking with Elena probably as she's thinking about all of the grief and everything she's experienced. Like, oh, this is just about to get worse.
Yeah. Like what Stefan told her.
Yeah,
that all of
exactly.
this is going to heighten. I think she is very aware of that. That
exactly.
That she's got a lot to deal with as a vampire.
Yeah.
But less emotional. A little step back from that for a moment.
Yeah.
At the tomb, Damon Tyler and Caroline are just now like coming out of the tomb, and it's suddenly pitch black out. I don't know, it's night now, I guess. I don't know how long they were down there, but whatever. And we see Matt is like laying on the ground waking up, and Caroline rushes over to him like, you knocked him out. Deems like yeah. he forgot about the gun.
I was gonna say, yeah, he was literally armed and like locked and loaded, ready yeah. to kill.
Yeah, literally. And Tyler is like holding his chest. He looks up at the full moon and he says, it's starting. And Damon says, grab Boy Wonder and let's go. And
let's get out of here.
They
yeah.
all get a move on. The what a group these people.
I was gonna say. These people, we'll check back in.
Back to the serious.
Yeah, back to the serious stuff. Stefan and Elena have now returned home. It's obviously, again, it's dark out. Time has passed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're getting out of Stefan's Porsche. And Klaus arrives and he asks Elena if she's ready to go. And Elena says that she is. And she starts to walk toward Klaus to go with him. But Stefan just says, no. It's like, I love so you, Stefan. Yeah, he just says, no. And Klaus tells Stefan, don't do anything or you're going to die too. Like, don't do anything to stop me or,
yeah.
like, no need for you to also die. And Elena turns back to Stefan and tells Stefan, there's no reason for you to die or get yourself hurt. And Elena kisses Stefan and she tells him that she loves him. And Stefan sort of pauses for a moment, tells her that he loves her back. And she kisses Stefan again. And Elena tells him to close his eyes. So Stefan closes his eyes and Elena lets go of his hand. And when Stefan opens his eyes again, Elena is gone.
What a moment. That was crazy of them to do that.
I know.
I really like this moment, though. I'm obsessed with Klaus. So, of course, I got to frame it around Klaus. I love when he arrives because it feels so like the monster taking the mm-hmm. maiden away in the night. I yeah. was like, this is every fantasy novel.
I know.
I love it.
Yeah, it feels very tropey in a good way.
In a good way. I wish they'd like leaned into it almost a little bit yeah. more. And also his like, you ready, my dear? He's so yeah. like proper. I love Klaus.
And well, I do love Klaus, of course. But I do also just love in this scene. I'm like, I'm so glad they gave Stefan the moment to be like, no. Because yes. it's so insane that he's just like going along with this. He's yes. like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Like, I'm glad they gave him a moment to be like, actually, wait, I'm not okay with this.
Yeah, showing that he has some regrets and some feelings yeah. about this and that he's also scared that exactly. she's, you know, going to die.
Exactly. I think it was necessary to see that.
It was definitely necessary. I only wish that Stefan would have insisted a little bit more that he gets to go too. I'm like, I don't understand why he wouldn't go with her and be like, I'm not going to stop the ceremony. Yeah. I just want to stand on the sidelines to like be there.
But for her, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess Klaus isn't supposed to know that Elena's going to somehow survive this. So, yeah. I don't know. But I feel like it's fair to be like, I want to be able to take her body when she dies. I don't know. I would have been like, I need to go with her. But he doesn't do that for some reason. And so Stefan yeah. is now, like, alone. He goes inside. And Alaric is already in there. And he mentions that, like, when he got home, the house was empty. Like, nobody's there.
Yep.
Little hint, hint. It's one of those things you miss on, like, especially a first watch, that no one is there. Not even Jenna. The house is completely yeah. empty. We know where Damon is, of course, which is who we go to next.
Yeah, of course.
Off in the woods, Damon is running around with Caroline, Tyler, and Matt. What a team. We love these bozos.
I forgot they had to still deal with this sort of thing. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
You heard the pause. I was like, what is going on with them? They're running around the woods.
With these weirdos. And so Damon gets a call from Stefan. Stefan's yeah. now called him to be like, where is everybody?
Yeah.
And he asks, he's like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah. And Damon says, saving the day. I figured you'd understand. Tell Elena to stay put. He's so like, I got this.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
Damon's it. Damon's had a shit day. He's like, finally something's going right.
He's like, I'm killing it. I'm doing yeah. so good right now.
Yes.
And Stefan immediately tells him, he's like, Klaus came and already got Elena. And Damon's like, oh my God. And like, he's so frustrated. He like groans and he's like, I'll take care of it. And he hangs up. Again, love Ian's acting.
I was going to say, Ian's popping off in this episode. Yeah, he was in his bag.
It's so good. Funny how on top of it he is. But yeah, so he's like, we got to get a move on, people. And Tyler is literally wolfing out on the sidelines. Tyler is like, he's like, I can't hold it back anymore. And Caroline's like trying to calm him down. She's like, you're okay.
Yeah. I don't know why Damon even answered the phone and was in such high spirits. He has an absolute mess on his hands.
They're about to be all ripped apart by Tyler Lockwood.
If not that, Matt's going to shoot them also. Like,
Yeah, Damon's barely holding it together. But yeah, Caroline's, again, speaking of delusional, like Elena, Caroline's like, you're okay, Tyler. He literally gets the yellow eyes and rushes straight at her to bite her, obviously. And Damon jumps in front of Caroline to save her. Mm-hmm. And he knocks Tyler to the ground. They both fall over. It's very fast. Mm-hmm. It's one of those moments, again, first watch, you're like, oh, Damon is so fine. We're all good here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Moving on. We just breeze right by it.
Yeah. He literally tells Caroline he's fine.
Yeah.
And then he tells them to go to the Lockwood cellar, Caroline and Matt, and lock themselves up. It mm-hmm. should be able to keep out Tyler. And then he gives Matt back the wooden bullets. He says, like, just in case, if nothing else,
this might will buy hold you some back. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so everyone leaves. They rush off. Tyler stays on the ground turning into a wolf, and Damon goes off a different way, obviously, to go try to get Elena back or get back on that situation.
Yeah, yeah. And we see at Alaric's apartment, Klaus is, again, still using this as his home base. Klaus is, you know, he is watching a video on his phone, and he, like, plugs it. It's a weird, like, borderline product placement. I don't know what the product even is.
It is product placement. It's an AT&T phone. You can, like, see this. Oh, okay.
I was like, what is this?
It's some sort of phone that you plug into a tablet that then syncs the video on the phone. I don't know. Why is this an ad?
It's called AirPlay. These days we have AirPlay. But
I don't know who this is being sold for, but yeah, Klaus showed up just in time to do his product placement.
Yep.
But the video is important. He's watching a video of Jules. He has a live stream of her, like, changing into a wolf, which I'm like, where's the Tyler live stream? Why was that not necessary?
Yeah, not sure what's going on there. But I guess he probably, like, had already figured out.
Yeah.
I don't know, that something was going to go wrong with Tyler.
I guess so.
Not sure. But anyway, he's watching this video and the door opens and, you know, it like the door to Alaric's apartment sort of like blows open and we don't see anyone at first. And Klaus is just like, I don't remember you. Like, I didn't know you were invited in.
Yeah.
And we see Damon is behind Klaus. Mm-hmm. And Damon tells Klaus that he has to postpone now because he killed the witch and rescued the werewolf and the vampire. Mm-hmm. And Klaus gets up from where he's sitting watching the live stream. He's like, excuse me. He's clearly, like, you know, not happy, but he knows it's fine.
Yeah.
And Damon is like, kill me. Like, just kill me. Yeah, it's all me.
He's such on a kamikaze mission right now. I'm like, what is Damon thinking? Just kill me right here, right now? Like,
yeah, Damon is like, it was all me, no one else. Just kill me. Just be done with it.
Yeah.
I think it's just supposed to show, like, how guilty he does feel.
Yeah, that's true. He's self-imploding, for
sure. Yeah, for sure. And Klaus, like, tells Catherine, because Catherine has been sitting there this whole time, to give him a moment alone with Damon. So Catherine leaves. And Klaus says to Damon, I've heard about you. The crazy, impulsive vampire in love with his brother's girl. And I knew one of you would try to stop me. And it was just a 50-50 guess as to which one of you. And, you know, Klaus shows him the video of Jules at this point. Mm-hmm. And says, you know, when you've spent 1,000 years trying to break a curse, you learn a thing or two. First rule, always have a backup. Backup werewolf. Backup witch. Damon fills it in. Backup vampire.
Yeah.
And Klaus says, I've got that covered too. Cut. And the screen, like, goes black, but in a way that makes it look like Klaus, like, threw a blanket over him or something, like a
it's
sack.
Like a whooshing. Like he kind of, like, lurches forward for a second and it, like, whooshes to black.
Yeah.
It's if you like Star Wars, it's a very Star Wars it cut is. Where there's like a whoosh cut. I don't know. Yeah. It's very funny.
To me, it's like he's, like, throwing a sack over Damon's head. He's going to, like, drag him out. I don't know.
That's kind of what it's giving.
It sort of looks like that to me. I always think that.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what Damon was thinking here. They couldn't even outsmart Catherine on all of her plan A, B, C, D's and the rest of the alphabet. So I don't know why they thought Klaus would be so easy. Just get one werewolf and vampire and that would be the end of it. Like, what is this? Amateur hour? Like, yeah, right. Klaus was going to be that easy to trick.
Yeah, I think. Well, so Damon's original plan was to kill the werewolf. I do think that his thought process was, how many more werewolves could there possibly be? Because they've been playing up all season that there aren't many, and Tyler was the only one in Mystic Falls.
Yeah, that's true.
That they knew of, but...
But again, how could they think Klaus wouldn't have a backup? Like, again, Elijah told them, like, Klaus will be ready tonight. Like, there's no way he won't be. So, I think they were underestimated. They don't know Klaus at all. This is the first time they're meeting him, but they clearly underestimated him.
Absolutely.
So Klaus has Damon, and we're kind of left, you know, as a first time viewer, you're like, oh, Damon's the vampire in the ceremony now. Oh my God, the backup vampire.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cut to the Lockwood cellar where Caroline and Matt are rushing down into the cellar. They're locking every gate. Tyler's in werewolf form. You can hear him growling, chasing after them. Caroline, they get into the actual last gate and he's nipping at the gate, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Caroline's still trying to reason with him.
I know.
Tyler.
Girl.
Yeah, girl. Delusional.
He attacked you in his person form.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing with Damon.
Yes, literally. And so he's still obviously just going at the gate and we cut away. That's the last we'll see of that for now. It will be the whole next thing is,
oh my God,
Wolf,
yeah,
Tyler trying to kill them.
Their whole plot.
So they're stuck in there with Tyler trying to kill them, I guess.
Yeah.
Now we go back to Alaric's apartment where Damon just wakes up on the floor he's been knocked unconscious and Catherine is giving him little bit of blood bag to wake him up. So it's like, wait, what is going on?
Yeah.
Damon's not the vampire that Klaus is going to use.
Yeah,
because Klaus is gone. And she tells him that Klaus went to go do the ritual. Like, he's going to go do it. And Catherine says to Damon, I'm sorry, I had to. And Damon is asking, what? What are you talking about? And Catherine says, he made me call her to lure her out. He needed another vampire. And Damon asks, who? And it cuts away before we even get to hear the answer. It was so long ago that I watched this for the first time, so I don't remember if I was putting together what was happening at this point. I don't think I was. I was also 14 when this came out, so probably couldn't have anyway.
Yeah.
But I think it's the pieces are there. But it's so subtle, and it's really smart.
Well, it's, because, the little thing about no one being home, the pieces are there, but the fact that Catherine says, he needed another vampire, I feel is a very good misdirect. I watched this after you, because I didn't watch the first two seasons live, and I want to say, so not that late after you, but I want to say, I don't think I saw this coming, that it was going to be Jenna.
No, I don't think I did.
I don't know.
Did.
It's so subtle. I don't think
Either
most people
way,
did.
I think even if you're it could be Jenna, you're it could be Liz. It could be anybody. It could be anybody. And you also don't want it to be so badly that you're really not letting yourself think about it. So, the first experience watch of this is insane. And this scene is really building that anxiety of just being who, Catherine, who did you call?
Yeah.
It's so good at building that. And then, of course, we cut to the, quarry where they're gonna do the ritual right off of the falls, and Elena and Greta are walking through the dark through the woods, and Elena puts together that Greta is Luca's sister, that she is a Martin witch, which I love that they dropped that in there. It's she's so flippant about her family too. She's just I was never lost. It's such a bittersweet sad ending to the whole Martin's plot. I love it as a storytelling device. It's very interesting. It's such a I don't know. It's such an interesting, different choice to choose to have her just not care. Her be I didn't want them to do that. They died for nothing.
Yeah.
And so, man, does it hurt.
I know. Yeah, I'll have so much more to say about Greta in the next episode. But yeah. I'll save it. I'll save it for now.
We'll save it for the next one.
Yeah.
Because Elena's tripping all over the dark. She's
she can't see.
Greta lights all of the fires around them, making the whole place, burst with light.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elena sees somebody is lying on the ground. And she rushes forward. And they turn over and it's revealed it's Jenna. And Elena checks Jenna's pulse and she realizes that Jenna's dead.
Yeah.
And she's like, why did he do this? Like, I did everything he asked. Why would he just kill her? Mm. But of course, Jenna is not dead. She wakes up, gasps for air, and Greta reveals she's not dead. She's in transition.
Oh,
I want to cry right now.
Oh, ripped my heart out.
Ripped my heart out.
Even if you potentially sort of saw it coming. Oh, what what a gut punch.
It is a gut punch.
Oh my God.
Because I think you're still, again, you're hoping it isn't true.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
To actually have it confirmed is just devastating.
Terrible.
So yes, then we cut to, I would say this is the more dramatic moment in this episode for a rewatcher, the reveal of Jenna, because
I think
you know
so
where
too.
It's going.
Yeah.
But then we go to the last scene with the bigger reveal on a first watch that you didn't see coming, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're both big. But this one is a big gut punch, too, in a first watch.
Yeah.
Is back to Alaric's apartment. Damon is asking Catherine why Klaus didn't just use him in the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Why is he not the vampire? And Catherine says that Klaus said that Damon is as good as dead, which Damon doesn't even know what she means. He's confused. And Catherine looks at the very clearly now wolf bite on Damon's arm and asks him, what is that, Damon? And Damon says, it's a werewolf bite. He didn't even realize he'd been bit by Tyler Lockwood. I don't know if he felt it a little bit and just didn't. But he clearly, I think, was a little like.
Yeah.
I don't know. If he was in denial, he's just like, can't think about it. Can't worry about it.
Yeah, I think he did realize, because I feel like you have to have realized that he bit you a little bit. But maybe it didn't register to him, like, the gravity of that. Yeah. Or, like.
That's probably true.
Yeah. He just was like, I can't even begin to think about this right now.
Yeah. But yeah. Also, I love this because Klaus clearly was planning, like, 12 steps ahead. He knew what he was going to do at the end of the finale. As soon as this happened, I think he knew that, like. Yeah, he was going to use Damon as leverage on Stefan.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I think he knew too. I think I'll get into more of it, but yeah.
Yeah, a lot to say in the next one. A lot to say in general. This is all one day, this episode and the next one. So, like, so excited to get into the next one, which is the actual sacrifice.
I know. Excited and not. I'm like, oh.
That's going to be our crying episode. Like, I'm just going to say it now. We're going to be sobbing. There will be so many cuts
for crying, yeah.
But this is a great episode. Like, what a fantastic setup for a finale episode. I mean, the next one's not the finale, but it is the real finale in terms of the plot of the season. And this is a great one to, like, get us all there and to put everything into place. It's so intense. It's such a great watch. First time and a rewatch.
This has not gotten old for me. I mean, there are some episodes where it's like, okay, whatever, I've seen it, like,
the mid-season two plot for sure.
Daddy issues, I'm like, oh my god. But this, I'm like, always excited to watch it, no matter how many times I've seen it.
It always hits. It always hits.
I know.
Which takes us into our in memoriam, our outro for the episode.
In this episode there were two deaths. Maddox was of course killed by Damon. And then of course we don't see it, but Jenna was killed by presumably Klaus.
Yeah, I assume he must have, like, when she ran out of the Salvatore house, he was already there, killed her, sent her off with Greta, and then stayed there to get Elena when she showed up. So, Jenna.
I know.
So sad. That takes us to our out-of-pocket, or things we would have done differently. I think I kind of have to go with Stefan just letting Elena go in the sacrifice. I didn't feel very strongly here about anything because I was like, it's such a perfect episode. And one thing that came to mind was Damon feeding Elena his blood, but I was like, it's so serious, I can't do it. So I was like, maybe Stefan just kind of letting Elena go. But I think the way we talked about it, it makes me a little bit more favorable to it. So I don't really know. I'm kind of at a loss here.
See, I thought there were a lot of, like, really little moments that weren't what would I do differently, but just so out of pocket.
Interesting.
First of all, Matt showing up to theoretically kill Damon or do God knows what,
a random man,
and just killing a random person. Is crazy. Also, he was like asking, where is Caroline? I don't even know what his intention was. He thought Damon kidnapped Caroline.
I don't know. Who knows? Matt's crazy.
He just starts firing. He shows up on scene, kills someone he doesn't know. Like, oh,
that's
my God.
That's true.
So that was one contender. Second contender, I was like, Maddox flinging Caroline.
Why do you have to do it like that?
I was like I said before, like, you could have just done the call and left it there. She didn't even really need to be injured.
Yeah, there was no reason.
He was wild. And even if she was, don't throw her down the stairs.
Yeah, like, where's the break the bones spell?
Yeah, exactly. Just, I don't know, break a wrist or something. Not so crazy, but.
Yeah, those are good ones.
Yeah, and then, of course, I had this one, but I mean, they give an explanation for it, but I do think, like, Klaus using Jenna as the vampire when she's not even already a vampire, he could have used someone else. And like Elena, like, keeps saying through at the end of this one and into the next episode, she did everything right. She did not run.
Yeah.
And I know Elijah justifies it as that's Klaus's payback for
Damon
meddling, but I don't know. It just feels like
it hurts Elena more than
Damon. It doesn't really hurt Damon, like, at all.
Except that Elena,
it does. But, but I don't know.
It's too cruel to be out of pocket for me.
Yeah, it's not out of pocket. It's just like, why?
I think we go with Maddox for Carol. That is literally out of pocket.
That is so out of pocket.
It's truly unnecessary. Because I can even justify Matt a little bit where it's like, I don't know.
He doesn't have a clue. He's a kid. Yeah. I don't know.
He's a kid with a rifle and a dream. That's Matt for you.
He's been trained by Liz, the worst cop. Like, she's terrible. So, like,
oh my God. So we'll give it to Maddox throwing Carol down the stairs when he literally didn't have to at all.
Yeah. I like that.
Wild of him. That brings us to our best quote.
Yeah, as for quote, I mean, there were a lot of good quotes. I liked everything Stefan said, like, in the hike.
I struggled with this one, though. It didn't feel like there was anything that really stood out, like, in the way a lot of episodes have, like, a standout quote.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought a lot of the dialogue was just very good, but nothing... Maybe because it's all so good. I don't know.
Yeah.
But nothing really
It's so situationally, popped. Like, stressful and intense that there's almost, like, very few minutes to be really heavily funny, playful, and there's very few minutes to have, like, a very... specific poignant like line that like stands out. I did have a funny one and actually like a serious one.
Yeah,
my funny one was Damon, of course, it always is, of course. And when he says grab boy wonder, let's go, it was like it's love fun. Calling Matt boy wonder, it's funny.
Yeah.
And my serious one was a Stefan one. Mm-hmm. When he said, or no, not Stefan, Elena, when she says to Stefan, I always get mixed up who I'm talking about in these quote sections, but Elena, when she says, I'm 17 years old, how am I supposed to know any of this? I was like, that felt like it kind of wrapped something very specific about the show up for me that I liked.
Yeah, see, that's sort of like the same thinking I had, but I went with a different quote. I liked Damon's quote, like, go ahead, wish me an eternity of misery, believe me, you'll get over it.
Yeah.
It's like, that just feels like it really represents something here.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I like the Elena quote. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, like I said, I feel so...
Yeah, no strong feelings.
Yeah, no strong feelings about anything that I'm like, I don't know how we pick because any of them are fine. I think we could go with the Damon one, though. It's kind of a nice wrap up almost of just like the Eternity of Misery storyline of
he's kind of Damon
moving on in a bad way.
Sort of. Yeah.
We can go with Damon.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with that.
And then we've got an easier song of the episode, too, because there's only two songs featured.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we'll be on the same page, but I don't feel strongly about it either way. Yeah. So I don't know which one.
I don't
one...
even remember the second song.
Okay, good. Well, so my honorable mention was Wolfpack by The Vaccine.
Sure.
Okay.
Don't know it.
So that was just played at The Grill when Matt and Caroline were talking.
Okay.
It's a good song. I like that it was Wolfpack, and it's like a very wolf-heavy episode. Felt fun. But the winner to me was like the more standout moment, which we already talked about, is when Tyler visits his mom in the hospital. It's called Not by Cheyenne Mary Mize. I don't know how to pronounce names ever. But I liked that one. It was very sweet. I can hear it in my head now, you know, and I can like, if I heard it, I would be like, this is in Vampire Diaries. Like I would know. So that to me stood out. So that was my winner.
Yeah. That was the only thing I really had. I didn't even really clock the song at the grill. So this was the one. And again, those sentimental moments usually stand out to me. So
well, we're like, at that part of the season. It's all about the sentimental songs.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean, yeah, I already know the next song.
Like, oh yeah. Yeah. Easily.
There will be no poll.
Well, there's only one song in the episode, first of all, so that's easier.
That's true. But it's obvious. Yeah.
It is obvious.
But yeah, definitely a sentimental ending to this season. And I'm good to go with this song.
Nice. So we'll be adding Not to our Best Song of the Episode playlist, where we have all of the winners of Best Song. It's getting mighty packed now. We've got all of season one and almost all of season two in there. And you can find that linked in our various bios and descriptions. You can also find there our Instagram and our TikTok, where we post polls and other fun like clips and memes and just all sorts of things to interact and talk about Vampire Diaries. So hope you join us there.
Yeah. And you can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Or you can watch the video version on YouTube if you want to see the way we're acting out some of the like head nods and various things like that. So, tune into any of those places next week on Thursday for Season 2, Episode 21.
The Sun Also Rises.
I was going to say The Sun Also Rises. I blanked.
I know. I want to call it The Sacrifice.
I do too, but it's a different episode.
It's a different episode. It's The Sun Also Rises.
Yeah. The Sun Also Rises.
Yeah. So hope we see you next week. Thanks for watching and or listening to this one.
Bye.